Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney. Today we're going to be talking about the most dominant cell phone OS. Are smartwatches dying? You can now legally hack your smart car or TV. And my favorite browser add-on. Now, if you use a cell phone, it's a good chance now that it's using Android. Android reigns supreme, according to a new report from the Strategy Analytics. Android represents roughly 87.5% of global smartphone market share in the quarter of 2016, crushing Apple's iOS. Now, that's not particularly surprising that it's surpassing iOS. I mean, as much as, hey, people hate to see it, Apple doesn't necessarily need to be dominant in anything to do well. If you don't believe me, take a look. So roughly the last 20 years, Apple's never really been dominant in the computer market. What they do have is an extremely loyal customer base, something Microsoft definitely doesn't have. Google has, but not to the same amount as Apple, to be completely honest. Now, the report does say that it looks like iOS usage is declining. I, however, doubt that, especially considering they just gained a huge percent of new users since the Note 7 was starting to catch things on fire. So it's definitely been definitely an older report. Now, as per the new research suggests, almost 9 out of every 10 smartphones around the globe runs Google's Android operating system. With 328.6 million Android devices shipped in the most recent quarter, that's 10.3% over year-to-year increase for Android, by the way. Whereas Apple posted a 5.2% drop-off on its own phone shipments of $45.5 million. Like I said, not really a shock. Apple doesn't necessarily have to dominate the market to do extremely well. I do think Apple definitely has an issue for getting rid of the headphone jack, the new MacBook announcement that we talked about last week. So it definitely could be causing Apple to lose market share, or will be in the future, even though they're not, according to last reports I've read. Now, Apple is the only major player in the OS market other than including BlackBerry, Microsoft, Samsung's Tizen OS, who claims about a 0.3 market share. Pretty much, honestly, Android is the Windows of phone OSs. It allows you to do whatever you want, and you can put it on anything. Matter of fact, unlike Windows, you can fork it. Take a look at Amazon's Fire OS. It's a forked version of Android. I bet an older version of it, but it's still the forked version. It's still too soon to say whether Android will remain powerful as it is today. As the experts point out, much of Android's popularity has stemmed from its ubiquity in lower-cost markets. Now, it's going to stay probably the king for a while. One of the reasons being is Android allows you to put it on whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with it. You can fork it. Only thing you have to do if you want it to be an official version of Android is meet certain requirements. So no, it's going to be king unless they do something horrible or stop making it. Microsoft is too late to the phone market. You can see by only a small percentage of the Windows phones being around. Matter of fact, I think Windows phones are getting harder to find. It's been announced that when Nokia comes back, it's a good chance it's going to make an Android phone, which they should have done to begin with. So no, it's too late. Android has already caught the market, and it's the Windows, I mean Google, and Apple again. So I don't know why it's such a big surprise. Like, was it 9 out of 10 phones are Android-based phones? The other thing about Android is you can put it on anything other than phones, too. I mean, there's a ton of Android tablets. I mean, I think it's on some televisions, if I'm not mistaken. It's on set-top boxes. So Android is, honestly, it's a perfect operating system for what they're using it for, and it definitely has a little bit more lower requirements than Windows has ever had. And there are people that do say that Google has a problem because thousands of people are installing Android on their smartphones, tons of manufacturers. I don't really see that as a problem. It worked really well for Windows. Now, maybe in the phone market, Apple is getting a big chunk of their money because what Apple does, they design from the hardware up, not just the software. If you take a look, Google actually has specs for phones, basically saying, if the phone, if you look like this, has to be this. If you want it to be this, you have to do this. So they have a couple of design models. Apple has never had that because they control everything from the software to the hardware to the Apple Store. They are the masters of their own future, which also could destroy Apple. So we'll see. I mean, they've always had the problem with their operating system OS X up until people have figured out you can make Hackintoshes. So we'll definitely see how that turns out for them. Now, this is a bit of a strange story. I actually think it's funny. Analysts have no clue if smartwatches are dying out. Now, since I brag about having an Apple Watch because it's one of the single most handiest pieces of technology I have, let me first tell you what I do with it. I told you in the previous episode, but just for the story, let me tell you. I use it to check my text messages, read email. I have used it for a GPS in the past. I've used some of the other apps. I've used it to control the music on my phone. I mean, for what I use it for, the Apple Watch is perfectly. I use it to also track my steps and my heart rate. So for me, it's the perfect piece of technology. Now, it isn't for everybody. I do know people that would probably struggle more with having a smartwatch than not. Now, there are a bunch of different smartwatch companies. I would say there's probably three major players, in my opinion. The low-cost leader is Pebble, P-E-B-B-L-E, if I remember correctly. You've got Samsung with Galaxy Gear. And in my humble opinion, probably the best smartwatch, minus a few features, being the Apple smartwatch. Now, one of the things Samsung Watch does that I think eventually Apple is going to have to include would be LTE. Basically, you sign up for a phone plan for your watch. You don't have to have your phone on you, but allows you to do some of the same things. It basically has internet access. I have a friend who has one, and she absolutely adores it. So what do you think? You know, would you guys use a smartwatch? I have one. My dad has one. My mom has one, for example, and they all love it. The greatest thing I love about my Apple Watch, honestly, is ability to dictate texts. Now, I can see some of your thought process now. John, why would that be handy? Why would I want to dictate my texts? Well, here's why. Say if you're in an environment that taking out your phone is frowned upon. Click a few buttons, you dictate a few texts, move on. You know, say, hey, honey, I'm going to pick up the quart of milk after work today. And that's it. Just short little bursts. It's perfect. Or say, for example, you have your kids in your arm and your kid's a newborn. So that particular time, you can't really set your kid down. It's not appropriate. You know, hold the kid a little tighter. Say, hey, honey, I've got Johnny. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. See you there. It's really convenient to dictate text. Checking email is also convenient. Say if you're in a business meeting and you can't really take out your phone, but there's this important email that is very, very important to this meeting. You click a few buttons, click it, and you can just say, hey, boss, I just got the email. Says it's going to be here on the 23rd. I mean, that's perfect. It's a great use of technology. And it's small, and you don't have to worry about bringing out your phone or a laptop. Because sometimes some meetings, having anything like a phone or a laptop is frowned upon. Trust me on this. I've been in a few. It's a little odd, but trust me on this one. So do I think smartwatches are dying? No, I don't. I do think it's going to plateau soon if it hasn't already. Because not everybody needs a smartwatch. As much as I hate to say it, because I think they're a great piece of kit. You know, some family members of mine don't need it. Maybe my wife, for example, probably doesn't need one, even though I'd say, hey, honey, you'd love this. So I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? How many of you out there have smartwatches? Is it something you use every day? Because I use mine constantly. The only downside, in my opinion, is the fact you have to charge it. Now, I don't use it a lot every day. I use it to text pretty much all the time, but I don't do anything else. So my battery pretty much stays charged the whole time. But if you're playing games, if you're using a lot of apps, if you're constantly having it check for email, you're going to kill the battery. And that is one downside of a smartwatch, is the batteries just don't last that long. They do seem to for me, but I'm very limited on what I use the watch for. Now, the only downside, in my opinion, of the smartwatch is they're not that good looking. You've got a giant LCD screen. The Apple Watch is decent. Some of the Galaxy Gear watches are decent. There's a, was it Tag Heuer or Hubert? Makes an Android smartwatch that is absolutely gorgeous, but I also think it tops out at a whopping, it's like anywhere between $1,300 and $3,000. So you're paying for a quality smartwatch. Now we're coming up to a break. Then we come back, we're going to be talking about a myriad of stories, one of them being that Una can now legally hack your car or your smart TV.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Now, the story we're going to talking about is actually really, really big, in my opinion. The FTC authorized changes to the DMCA, that's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Now, this would allow Americans to hack their own electronic devices. Researchers can now lawfully reverse engineer products, and consumers can repair their vehicle's electronics. But the FTC is only allowing the exemption for 2 years. It's a trial run, basically see how it goes. Now, a lot of companies don't necessarily want you to reverse engineer their products. They don't want you to find out, hey, this car has a vulnerability that could cause the brakes to go out. Now, this is something that they would fix on their own without announcing it publicly, but it's still something they don't want you to find out. Same thing with smart TVs and other smart devices. They all have vulnerabilities, and none of the companies that make them want you to know about those vulnerabilities. Personally, I think it's a great idea. Now, for me, I'm not the average person. I would still use it. You have to take a look at the risk and rewards. Is it enough, more rewards than risks? You know, for example, in a car, not having any brakes, big risk, little reward. Being able to put additional apps on my television, big reward, little risks, in my humble opinion, at least. Now, this is nothing new. The FTC and Library of Congress have enacted similar legislation in 2014 that allowed you to unlock your smartphone. However, until today, it was illegal to mess with the programs in your car, thermostat, or tractor, thanks to a strict provision in the DMCA's Section 1201. That even applied to research prohibiting devices, security flaws, a service that helps both public and manufacturers. So basically, if there was a flaw, they weren't allowed to legally tell you because what they were doing was technically breaking a law. And if I remember correctly, the DMCA can be a little bit vicious at times. Now, what the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, actually stops you from doing is a myriad of things. One of them is, like the title says, copyright. This came around a lot because of Napster, the invention of online video, and a bunch of other things that kind of came around in some giant, messy legislation like the DMCA. Now, when this came around, it was something that really people started talking about what fair use is. Now, what fair use is, say you have a copy of Star Trek Wrath of Khan on VHS, and this happens to be your favorite all-time movie, and it's the VHS, you don't like the DVDs. Now, under fair use rules, you can do that. Now, the DMCA does have some fingers in that, but pretty much the way that most people, at least that I know, look at it, if you want to back it up, and pretty much backing up means changing format. So if you're going from VHS to DVD, DVD to digital, it's your copy, you can have it. So, I mean, that's fair use. The only thing that I have to tell you is when you buy a movie, whether it's on DVD, which on VHS, H.264, wherever you're buying it, you're not technically buying a copy. And by that, I mean, you're not buying the full rights to the movie. You're buying a license. Basically, you're buying one copy for yourself or your family, but you do not retain the rights to do whatever you please. Now, there's a bunch of other ways around this, but for this sake of argument, you're not technically buying the full rights to it. You're just buying the rights to watch it. Now, the DMCA allows you to do that a little bit. And see, this is the problem and the good thing with the DMCA. It's definitely a little bit more defined. Now, there are things I wish it would define more. But with the exceptions made, now you can hack your television. You can hack your car. You can unlock your phone. Now, I can see a lot of you heard me say that and go, John, what is unlocking my phone? What exactly do you mean by that? Well, say if you have an AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, you name it, whatever the company or carrier is, and you want to take that phone to another company. So say if you have, an AT&T phone and you want to take it to Straight Talk Mobile, which is an MVNO, Mobile Virtual Network Operator. Basically, it allows you to do so. It allows you to unlock your phone from the specific carrier, AT&T, to take it to another carrier. Now, this could be another company that uses GSM, or it could be a pay-as-you-go provider like Straight Talk, for example. Now, the benefits of taking it to, like, for example, Straight Talk that I mentioned, is it's cheaper. You're paying $45 or $55 a month. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people want to be able to unlock your phone. Now, it's a little bit more common now than it used to be, but it's still one of the reasons a lot of people wanted to do it. Now, I'm going to switch up the talk a little bit and kind of talk about some of my favorite add-ons and what do they do. Now, this is something we've talked about before, but since it's one of my favorite topics, I'm going to keep going on it and hammering on about it until you guys tell me what your favorite add-on is. Now, one of my favorite of all time is LastPass. What LastPass is it's an online password manager. Pretty much what you do is your passwords are stored in the cloud in a secure way, not an unsecure way. It's not a text file on Bob's password server type of thing. It's actually salted. It's very secure from everything I've read, so don't worry about that. Now, what LastPass has just announced is the ability to use their password manager for free on mobile devices. Now, before, you actually had to pay yearly for access to their mobile password manager. Now, for me, it was worth it. So the ROI, the risk reward and the investment was 100% worth it because I'd accessed all my passwords. Now, the greatest part about this is this allows you to have more complicated passwords. Now, everybody has a similar idea of what passwords. It's their birth date, their mom's birth date, their dad's birth date, their address when they're growing up, their dog's name, their father's, mother's, brother's name type of thing. Now, this allows you to make secure passwords. Now, most of my passwords are randomized passwords, anywhere between 9 to 24 digits long or longer. They have capitalized letters, lowercase letters. They have numbers, and they have punctuation marks, asterisks, stuff like that. Now, this is really secure. This is the benefit of having LastPass, is the fact that you can have passwords that are individualized to every website. So, example, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, your bank account password, your Amazon password, your Walmart.com password, all should be individualized. And this is things like LastPass come in handy. And I know you're out there saying, John, that's too much to remember. Why would I want to do that? That's so much hassle. This is the reason why you want to do it. Say if somebody somehow hacked Amazon.com, and say if your password was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It can't be that, but let's just pretend it is. Now, say if you share that password between your bank, your Pinterest, your Facebook account, and your credit card, and a couple other accounts. Now, since those bad guys just hacked Amazon, they got your password, the first thing they're going to do is go to your bank account password, type in 12345, and boom, they have access to your bank account, your Facebook page, your Twitter page. They have access to your online identity. Now, they can go from there, they can steal more things of your identity, whether it's online or in real life. This is why we always recommend here at the GSMC Technology Podcast having secure passwords and try to individualize them. Now, I know not everybody has all day to change passwords on every website they visit. Now, what I recommend is changing a couple a week. You know, you get up in the morning and you change it. Now, LastPass has a password generator. There are other ones out there for free that make great passwords. Now, I realize this sounds like a lot of work, and I'm not lying. It really is. It'll make your life easier. Now, I don't know how many of you remember when Sony.com got hacked. Now, Sony.com got hacked, and everybody's passwords were released, and a bunch of other things happened. But a lot of my friends who have PlayStations use the same passwords everywhere. This created a problem for some of them. So this is what I recommend. Just use randomized passwords. Use a password manager. The other thing I recommend is you can export your LastPass passwords to an Excel spreadsheet or something like that and print them out. You want digital copies. But with your digital copies, keep them somewhere safe. I recommend keeping them safe. If you have a security, if you have a lockbox in a bank, you want to keep it there. And I know it sounds ridiculous, like you're going to have me print them out and store them somewhere, then I have to go there to unlock them. If your computer dies, or if you forget your main LastPass passwords, you will never get those passwords. Like my password to my LastPass account is 35 characters long. I couldn't remember that if I tried, so I have it in a very secure location, if I ever lose it, on a thumb drive somewhere in my parents' house. Yes, I realize I sound a little bit nuts, but trust me, ladies and gentlemen, this is worth it. It makes life easier, and that only once in a while will things go sideways on you, because I've never had it go sideways on me, and I've been using LastPass for 5 years, probably. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about my favorite browser add-ons, along with something that's going to make you be a little bit more squeamish around printers.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Now, welcome back. We're going to finish up our conversation about browser add-ons, and the other one I wanted to talk about was Xmarks. Now, it's kind of hard to tell from the name what exactly Xmarks does. But what Xmarks is it's a syncing tool for your bookmarks. Now, if you're anything like me, you have anywhere between thousands and tens of thousands of website bookmarks that are very important to you. Now, I also have like three computers I use regularly in some form or fashion. Two of them are actual computers. One of them's a tablet. Now, what this allows you to do is it allows you to have access to all your bookmarks in every device. Now, granted, Firefox, Chrome, and other browsers have this built in. The greatest thing about this is platform agnostic. It doesn't care what platform you use. Matter of fact, there's even a website, xmarks.com, that allows you to access your bookmarks from there. Say, from your cell phone, for example, because that's what I do with mine. So, this is awesome. This is a great tool. Highly recommend it. The other one I recommend is AdBlock Plus. Now, you're going to say, John, why you recommend me stopping ads? The only reason I recommend stopping ads is, for one, a lot of websites now have 1,000 pop-ups. The only caveat I say, if there's a website you like say Golden State Media Concepts podcast.com, turn off the ad block. This is what I do. Support your browser. Support the website and the companies you like. But if there's a website that I have, there's like, say for example, there's a website that has a great news story that for me, I really want to know. But every time I scroll, there's a pop-up. Anytime I start reading a story, it pops up. There's just pop-up, pop-up, ad. It's annoying, and it's ruining your ability to read the story. AdBlock Plus stops those pop-ups. It stops ads from getting in your face and really bugging you. The bad side, like it said before, it stops all ads. And you want to support your favorite websites, whether you're talking about Reddit, whether you're talking about Facebook, CNN, Fox News. I don't care if it's a big website or Ma and Pa's Kettle's recipes for Southern cooking. If they have ads and you like the website, you're going to want to turn off the ad blocking because it supports them. Now, the other one I really like is Ghostery. Ghostery stops website trackers, basically, you know, Google Analytics, stuff like this. It breaks a few other things. The same thing applies, though. As I said before, if you like the website, turn it off. And the reason why is, so like GSMCpodcast.com, CNN, Facebook, they depend on analytics and numbers to know how many people go on their site. This helps them with their advertisers. The more viewers they get, the more people they go, the more chance they can get better ads, the more money they get, the more they can improve their website for people like you and me. So that is really important. This is something I do practice in my everyday life. Websites I like, I go to the settings inside the add-on, turn off the add-on, and that website. Most have that option. Some don't. So, you know, users beware. And if you want that function and that particular add-on doesn't have it, there are hundreds and thousands of add-ons for every browser, Firefox and Chrome, that do the same thing. There's a bunch of ad blockers. There's a bunch of things like Ghostery. My favorite one actually is NoScript on Firefox. The other one I really like is FlashBlock. Now, what FlashBlock basically does is it stops all Flash and HTML videos from playing. It basically stops it. And I like this because some websites have a ton of Flash content. So that stops you. So basically, that also saves your bandwidth on your phone. If you're using a hotspot, it saves that. Or if you're just like me, it annoys the heck out of you when things play without your permission. It drives me absolutely batty, personally. So we're going to switch to another story, and this one is a little bit of a wow moment. John Oliver is a playful, media-savvy security researcher. Previously, he documented hidden cell phone towers in bad disguise and produced a hand grenade-shaped transparency device that spied on everything in the room. Now, Oliver has released a cellular base station disguised as a boring HP office printer. It's perfectly camouflaged to be set up and plugged in at any office. Then it overpowers a cell phone connection from real lights outside cellular towers, grabs all the phones in the building, sending them text that's tempting the receipt into a conversation. Come over when you're ready, for example. I'm printing the details for you now. If the receipt responds, anything they text back the printer, anything they text back is printed on the HP printer. Now, he is really playful, but you hear what it's saying there, ladies and gentlemen? He's saying this little thing that's disguised as HP, a laser printer, can actually intercept all your phone calls. Now, granted, there's a thing called Stingray that the police have been using it for years, but isn't this kind of freaky to you that somebody can do this? Now, this is something the phone company and everybody else, if they secure their connections and do things the right way, they wouldn't necessarily have that problem. But to me, when I was reading the story, I was like, dear God, this is amazing and scary. It does demonstrate the power of how insecure and terrible GSM standards for mobile connection is. Like I said, if they secured the connection, they did a few magic things to it, it wouldn't necessarily be as big as a problem. The vulnerability